Father, we praise you. We bless you. We rejoice in your love and your mercy toward each one of us. How can we ever thank you for all that you have accomplished in the midst of each one? And Father, we just thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather together once again in your name. Amen. The last time that we spoke, we spoke from 1 Corinthians 14 and 26 that said, when you come together, that each one of you hath a song, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. We were talking about the body of Christ and how that the body of Christ is a corporate body with a single head, as Christ is the head of that body. And as I was pondering and meditating, I thought, you know, one thing that man has always had is pride and ego. Is, you know, look what I have done. How many times have we been to a service and people say, I thank God, I don't go do the things of the world. I don't do this. I go to church every time the doors is open. They're always bragging and basing their spirituality on what they have done. In John 15 and verse 16, I'm going to read this from the Amplified. Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and appointed you. I have planted you that you might go and bear fruit and keep on bearing fruit, that your fruit may be lasting, that you may remain, abide, so that whatever you ask in my name, as presenting all that I am, he may give it to you. And I thought, how plain can it be? You know, we've always heard people say, well, I decided in that little chorus singing it, I have decided to follow Jesus. Or, you know, I decided to accept Jesus as my Savior. But, you know, this absolutely takes that notion out. And if you can't believe that he chose you, then you need to take the scissors and cut that verse out of the Bible, because it's plain. I mean, it doesn't need a theologian to interpret that verse. Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. I chose you. I mean, that is a basic principle. And you can see it in the life of Paul, how that God chose him. And the verses in Ephesians, first chapter, it says, according as he hath chosen us in himself before the foundation of the world. And the Amplified reads this way, even as in his love he chose us, actually picked us out for himself, for as his own, in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and consecrated and set apart for him and blameless in his sight, even above reproach before him in love. Not only did he choose us before the foundation of the world, but he chose us and that we should be holy. He chose us holy, consecrated, set apart, blameless in his sight, even above reproach for him. You see, God takes it out of our hands and places it in his hands. That he guarantees, he says, the work that I began in you, I'm going to finish it. So we've been talking about the body of Christ in Romans 8 and verse 19, that it tells us that the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the manifestation of, and if you look in all the translations of most of them, the word there is sons of God. But if you look in the Greek, it is son. God has a corporate son that he is going to manifest in on this earth with Christ as the head. And the things about that we're talking about, people say, well, you know, that's so elementary. Well, you know, that's a lot of the problem today. People, we have, more especially where we are in present truth, people want to hear a new revelation, a new unveiling. We forget the fact that God is in the process of producing a son in the earth, of unveiling a son in the earth, of preparing a son to be unveiled in the earth, a corporate son. Paul went as far as to say, when you should be teachers, you have need that one teach you. And in the verse we read in the beginning from 1 Corinthians 14, the fact that when you come together, it didn't say if you come together, when you come together, you know, each one has something to share. And of course we say, hey, I have nothing. What am I going to share? Yeah, I want to remind us this morning. We said it the last time we spoke, that Jesus promised the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to come. He came on the day of Pentecost. And that same Spirit that filled Jesus on the day that he was baptized, that same Spirit that came and filled the 120 in the upper room, that same Spirit that turned the world upside down through those early Christians in the first century, is the same Spirit that dwells in you and I. God dwells in us. Not part of Him, not a portion of Him, but the whole Godhead dwells in us. He came back as a form of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And He says, when He is come, He will teach you all things. Not some things, but all things. And you see, since He chose us, and since we were chosen and handpicked out by Him before the foundation of the world, you know, that takes away our ego and our pride, because we have nothing to boast in. I can't boast in what I do, because what I do is absolutely immaterial. Man bases everything on the external of what you can see. You know, do you look like what the articles of our faith say you're supposed to look like? Do you dress like the articles of our faith are supposed to? Do you believe in the doctrines or the articles of our faith? You know, are you like us? Have you come through the cookie cutter that we are in? And if not, then we have the right to condemn and to criticize you. But I've got news for you. Nobody has the right to condemn or criticize anyone. We're being raised up in spirit, in a higher dimension of spirit, day by day. Our knowledge is being increased as we see and hear the revelation of God. And that has to be walked out. Those truths have to become a part of our lives. But I have nothing to boast in. And he says that we were chosen him, handpicked out before him. And in verse 5 of Ephesians 1, it says, he predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, if you read Paul in Corinthians, you know, there is no big I and little you in the body of Christ. There's only one head. People fight to be the one up front speaking or the one that's doing all the work. Doesn't matter. That's not what it's about. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Walking in the divine will of God where He has placed you in the body is what's important. It's one body. God doesn't have, and I think we said this the last time we spoke, God doesn't have a Baptist body, a Presbyterian body, a Methodist body, and a head for each one of those, or a Pentecostal body, or whatever body you're a member of, and then have several heads. It's not like that. All of this denomination causes division in the body of Christ. And there is no division in the body of Christ. We see each other equally in the body. Paul said the least comely parts are important. Each part of that body is important. He predestinated us unto adoption. I mean, we think, well, look, or no, we don't think. I should change that because we don't think that. Used to think that. Look at Sister So-and-so. She's speaking in tongues and shouting all over the church. Wow, she's spiritual. Or Brother So-and-so, look, he has given so much money to the church, or he's the head deacon in the church. It's not like that in the body of Christ. Each individual member is important in the position that God has placed that member in the body of Christ. There is and can be and should be no dissension. How simple it is for us to look at the Word of God and to see the fact that Jesus said, as I have loved you, to love one another. But you can ride down the highways and byways of this nation and you can see the different churches, the different denominations. Sometime you can ride just a mile down the road and see another church of the same denomination that is split off of the one uptown or somewhere else. Division. And there's no such thing in the body of Christ. There's only one head, and that's Christ. And so in 1:5 in the Amplified says, for He foreordained us, He destined us, He planned in love for us to be adopted, revealed as His own children through Jesus Christ in accordance with the purpose of His will, because it pleased Him and was His kind intent. So, it was God. God is sovereign over His creation. Now in John 17, is Jesus' prayer. John 17:11 said, now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee, Holy Father. Keep them that through Thine own name, those whom Thou hast given to Me. And I love this statement. And you know, the fact of the matter is that the foundational truths out of every move that God has had have been passed on to the next move of God. Those foundational truths never become old and never go away. It's when men take the revelation of the truth of God and add to it. Israel took the Ten Commandments of God and ended up with over 600 commandments. And most of them were do not. Not do, but do not. And that's what man does. But the essential basic truths out of each and every move of God is carried over to the next move. Not what man adds to it. We can look at we're all familiar or have come through or come around or been near it, the charismatic movement. And what has happened there? You see mega charismatic churches now that have been built on that one truth of what happened during the charismatic movement and have not moved on. But that last statement of John 17:11 says, Jesus prayed that they may be one as we are one. That they may be one as we are one. Now that, when I think about what Jesus said, that we love one another as He loved us, then Jesus said, a prayer was that they may be one as we are one. There's no division between the Father and the Son. They were the same. They were the same. The Father, in the Old Testament, we have God the Father. In the New Testament, we have, or the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we have God the Son. In Acts and the rest of the New Testament, we have God the Holy Spirit. One person. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. There is no division. So Jesus prayed that we may be one, even as they are one. In John 17:22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given thee. Think of that. The same glory that God gave the Son, He said, I have given them. And why did He do it? That they may be one even as we are one. You see, beloved, you don't go around and destroying your own body. You don't go around hitting or kicking your own body. You don't go around cutting and destroying your own body. So what is the difference in the body of Christ? We're one. I mean, we're individual people. We each one are individual people. But you look at our body, we have hands, we have arms, we have eyes, we have ears, we have a mouth, we have legs. And it's many members, but it's one body. It's the same principle. Why would I hurt my own body? But yet, I am a member of the body of Christ. And Jesus prayed that we may be one, even as they are one. We are sitting here this morning. We are one. One body. Many members, but one body. One anointed, one Father over all, one God, one Lord, one baptism. One. Not many, but one. Not separate, but one. That Christ is the head of that body. That, hallelujah, all of the anointing and the power and the knowledge and the mercy and the understanding comes and flows out of the head and permeates this body that we're dwelling in. One. You know, though that's fundamental. It's something that I don't believe that in this hour that God even needs to, should be having to say. And yet He is saying this. And why is He saying? He is reminding us. Why? Because there is a day that is approaching that is very soon, when God is going to unveil and manifest His Son in the earth. And that Son is going to be in His image and in His likeness and His nature and His mercy and His compassion and His love for all creation. That's why He's saying to us in this hour, get alone with me. Behold me, because as we behold Him, we are metamorphosed and changed into that same image. Why is He saying? He is saying it because the day is approaching and is even at the door when He's going to take the veil off of the work that He has done and manifest Himself in these vessels that we are. That change that is coming in the earth in this day and in this hour that is soon at hand He is telling us, as the body of Christ, we have got to walk in the revelation, the message, the word that He has spoken to us, have got to become spirit, and they've got to become life in the midst of us. God has got no one going to manifest in a people that's not prepared for that manifestation. God is not going to manifest in a people that will go out and do their thing and put up their shingle and their own evangelistic association and declare their own word in their own day and then build their own churches and bring glory to themselves. No man is going to share in the glory of the manifestation of the sons of God. And only a people that is prepared, that has gone through the processing and by the preparation to be manifested, will be manifested. God is saying, this is an hour. Look at it. Look at my word. Look at what I'm saying to you. You're one. You're not individuals. You're one. You're many members. You're different members. You have different functions in the body of Christ, but you're one. And that was His prayer. And if Jesus prayed that prayer, let me tell you something, that prayer is going to be answered. Jesus prayed it. He declared it into us that we would be one as He is one. And it is that preparation that is taking place, that process that is taking place. And that word that is being spoken in this hour is the word that the Holy Spirit is blowing as a trumpet and sounding as a trumpet that is going to bring about that taking off of this corruption and putting on incorruption and taking off this mortality and putting on immortality and being unveiled as the manifested, revealed body of Christ, the Son of God in the earth with God, with Jesus as the head. A many-membered body speaking the Word of God in the earth that is going to bring about the deliverance from the bondage of sin and curse that this nation and this world is under in this hour. That is going to bring about the salvation of all turning and coming to the Lord. It is that body, but it is a prepared body. And it's not a work that we can do. It is only a work that He can do. It's not something that I can say, hey, I'm going to do it today. No. But it happens in the presence, hallelujah, of our Father. That change happens as we behold Him, as we turn aside from all the cares and the frustrations and the storms and the nights and the problems and the troubles of this world and come into union and communion and fusion with Him. That oneness with Him that brings that oneness between each one of us. That declaration of God's Word that is going about in this hour that is going to transform and conform and bring that metamorphosis to the day of that unveiling of the sons of God in the earth. The Son of God in the earth. That many-membered body. Jesus prayed that we may be one. And in the 23rd verse of John 17, He said, I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfected in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Perfected in one. Unified in one. That day that is going to declare and bring about the union and the fusion of spirit and soul that is going to turn into the manifestation and the unveiling of the Son of God in the earth. It's a day that is at hand. We hear that word and we don't put it off. We don't say, well, Lord, that's just something I heard years ago. Yes, the message of the body of Christ is something that we heard years ago. But look around you. Look throughout this nation. Even look in the move that we're in now. There are those that are still condemning and judging each other. That cannot accept one another as being a member and a part of that body because maybe they don't believe just like they believe. are putting down because maybe they don't see the same word that they say or speak the same way they speak. Beloved, it does not matter. We are birthed and have come into an awakening as children and sons of God. Now we are sons of God. Paul said that, know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the dwelling place of the living God. We're sons of God, and being sons of God, we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ in God. And being joint heirs with God, we are joined to one another. The Word says, as He is, so are we in this world. So we are joined and fused together by the Spirit in the unity of the Word of God, bringing about His Word in the midst of each of us. So it behooves us in this hour to turn aside from everything that does not bring unity and harmony in the body of Christ, and allow the Spirit of God to move and to work within us, individually, coming together as one in Him. Not the divisions, no divisions, no schisms, but as one in Him. Meditating, being in His presence, thinking upon His Word, thinking upon His revelation, and allowing the Spirit of God to move and to bring us into that position of coming higher in the Spirit. The Spirit has told many times to come up higher. And man says, well, how can I come up higher? I don't know. By being in His presence. By coming into union with Him. By beholding Him. As we behold Him, as His words are spoken to us, they become spirit and in life. God told Abraham when he parted from Lot, He said, every place the sole of your foot touches, that I'm giving to you. Beloved, I'm telling you this morning, hallelujah, that the Spirit of the living God is walking through our earth, our soul. And every place, hallelujah, that the Spirit touches is being changed and is becoming ours for eternity. Never to return back to what it was. And I believe the Spirit is almost finished walking through our land. As we come into His presence, as we meditate upon His Word, as we allow Him to change us into His image and His likeness, that day of manifestation is coming. That day when God is going to bring forth and unveil that sun in the earth with Jesus Christ as the head is fastly approaching. God's walking through our land. God is walking through our land. Lord, walk through every inch, every nook, every crown and corner, every part of that that is with us to be changed into Your likeness and into Your image. That day of manifestation will come soon. That creation will begin to hear the glorious words of the Father that is going to break the chains of bondage and set creation free into the glorious power of our God. That they may become the children of our God. The God that we know. The God of love. The God of mercy. The God that has called His children back unto Himself. That is bringing us into this day. Beloved, it's not too elementary. It's not too simple. And it's not just kindergarten. But God is saying to go back and look at those things that we have known, those things that we have heard, to make sure that we're walking in that which He has spoken in the fullness. That there is only one body. That there is only one head of that body. And that is Jesus Christ. And we are many members, but we are one body. We are that corporate son, bless God, hallelujah, that is going to stand in the earth and be revealed as the Son of God and speak forth the Word of the Lord into creation to set it free. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we just bless You. We love You. We thank You for Your blessings this morning, Father. Bless Your Word to us, O God. May our eyes be open to see the nearness and the closeness of that day that is approaching to us. that we may allow you to work into our hearts and into our lives and into our souls to change us fully into your image. May we come into your presence and enjoy that which you have given us, that you may have preeminence in all that we do and say. Father, we bless you, we praise you, and we magnify you. Hallelujah. Amen.